This episode of the Red and White Podcast is brought to you by Roback, roback.com, performance apparel company. They make polos, hoodies, Q-zips that are legit just the best fit and the best feel. I know you've seen the little dog logo on people's shoulders. That's Roback. They gave you a 20% off coupon if you use the code REDWHITE. So go support the sponsors of the podcast. Go get yourself some sick apparel. And thanks for listening. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. 8 to 4. Run through the night. Playing with your life. All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Will. Will, are you excited for Tiger Woods' return to the professional golf scene? He's back this week. The buzz is electric at the Genesis Invitational.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? Are they handing out Segas? Yeah, man. Sure. I didn't realize he was still out.
Yeah.
You know, like there was that Golf Digest. You know, series that he was doing or whatever, right? So I just figured he was kind of already back in the swing. But
yeah. The Sega Genesis was an underrated console. Like, it never gets the love it deserves.
I can't believe, I mean, yeah, I just remember always being like, this thing is awesome. I just couldn't believe it never had the staying power, you know. I think Sega got lost because, this is a basketball and football pod. What am I doing?
I mean, Sonic is popular again. My kids are watching his Netflix series, and now they're like, Sonic! And I'm like, yes! And I'm about to break out the Sega Genesis for them. They're like, this is disgusting. Like, yeah. How could you play on this?
I can't. They're like, what is this?
See.
Like,
what is that?
What is this, 320p? Like, yeah. I think, you know, it's funny. I feel like Sega just, for whatever reason, the Nintendo 64 kind of like trumped it. I don't know if it was GoldenEye that kind of, you know, since that was like back in the news recently, but
yeah, they were different eras though. Like the Genesis.
I know, but what I'm saying is like, I guess like Dreamcast, I think was like the equivalent and like no one ever had that, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Dark times.
There's going to be 50,000 people following Tiger. He's playing with JT and Rory. And then 1,000 people around the rest of the course. Like they're, everybody's going to watch that pairing. It's going to be wild and I can't wait.
Yeah, now is he like expected to actually play well, or are they like, this guy's like a broken down car?
I think he's a broken down car. It's unfortunate, but I think his time has passed him. I think everybody else is too good right now and in too good of shape.
I thought all the good players were on the LIV tour.
All the rich players went to the LIV tour. Getting paid over there.
Oh my gosh.
But the Netflix series Full Swing came out today, and it's like the, I know they did the F1 documentary, but this is their, that version of it for the PGA Tour, and I can't wait to watch it. It looks fantastic.
Can you explain something to me? I saw this controversy over some tea getting flicked at Rory McIlroy. What was going on there?
Patrick Reed thought Rory needed a tea, and he tossed him a LIV Tour tea. And that was pretty much it. And they don't like each other as it is. But it
wait, so the LIV Tour guys get to still participate with the PGA?
It was in some, maybe it was Dubai or one of these other non-PGA events.
Oh, okay.
Or sometime, I think that's what the event was. I don't remember. Yeah, I watched and I read up on it. And I was like, why are people talking about this? He just flicked a tee at him. Yeah. I mean, it was, but they don't like each other anyway, so there's some saltiness behind it. Yeah.
Well, Evan, I just watched a condensed game, and it looks like we lost in basketball.
Speaking of saltiness, Bert Smith is the target of a lot of air today.
So is he the official?
He's the one. He's the official, right? He's the guy. He's who had somebody tagged me in a tweet that somebody went through Bert Smith's Twitter account, found all his very Tim Beck like or Tim Beck esque likes on his Twitter. And then we called him out and he eventually went back and deleted them all, which is pretty funny to me.
I hope someone screenshotted it.
You know, we should have. I didn't even think about it. I didn't care much. I was gonna.
Well, what was the deal? Because I'm watching the condensed game, which shockingly does not show the fouls.
So. Yeah, I'm gonna pull up the IPS had a good chart. He tweeted out. James tweeted out earlier today. And if I can find it, and they put out a lot of stuff. In NC State's loss to Syracuse, the numbers and impact one specific official, Burt Smith, had was notable. And it says, first half, so there's three officials, Burt, AJ, and Bill Covington. First half, Burt Smith called six on NC State. The other guys called two each. First half, he called Burt Smith called one on Syracuse. The other guys called three and two, respectively. Second half, Burt Smith called seven with three under the two-minute mark. And the other two guys called one and two, respectively, on NC State. And then Burt Smith called one on Syracuse. The other guys called two each on Syracuse. So it's absurd that one guy calls 13 of 20 fouls on NC State and overturned a clear deflection that was missed too. Like the whole thing is ridiculous. But
so he's on the take is like what we think, right?
I mean, you're either bad at your job, incompetent, biased, or all of the above. The XC officials cannot be consistently this bad without either just being really bad at your job or really being biased towards one. And it's not just us, right? They basically put out an apology to Duke because Duke got hosed in the Virginia game. I don't see any apologies coming our way, but they put out an apology.
So did they say that basically that guy – that the refs made the wrong interpretation of that rule? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The whole thing is just, to me, it's so frustrating to watch, right? I don't want to get caught up on the officiating of one game or this or that. Like, it's consistently bad. And if you're the commissioner, you know, the AC commissioner sent a letter to the coaches to not talk about officiating. Right, because it looks bad. They don't want to do. Rather than actually trying to fix the problem,
yeah,
it blows my mind because it makes the product so much worse to watch, and that's the most frustrating part about it. Yeah, we're on the wrong side of it quite a bit. Maybe we just play differently. It's fine, but there's just no consistency, and it's hard for teams to play if they don't understand the way the game is going to be called. Right, if there's no consistency in fouls and. And then you got the on top of it is Dan Bonner and Wes Durham during the game, and all the other announcers always do this. They don't question any call. They see it and they're, oh yeah, that was clearly out on so and so when it was the other way. Or you know, yeah. Kate, the one last night with Casey Morsell, he stuck his arm out because the guy was bodying him, which everybody does all the time. Gerard flops and grabs his nose like he just got punched in the nose. And the replay, they go back and they're reviewing it for a flagrant foul. And you can clearly see that Casey comes nowhere near that guy's head. And it was 100% a flop. And they don't say anything. They give the ball a Syracuse call foul on Casey. When all offseason, they're emphasizing the rule, the no flopping rule. And they just, how are you so bad at your job? I don't get it. And how does the league okay with it? Maddening.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we say this every time. We say it with football. I think it would apply to basketball too. It's just like, just pay to have full-time guys.
Yes.
Have training all season, but have like performance reviews. And there needs to be like consequences for poor officiating. I mean, it's not.
Instead, they tell you not to speak about the officials, right? Tell coaches to not question it and not talk about it rather than. Actually addressing it. Addressing it. It's unbelievable to me that that is how they decide to proceed. They're just making so much money, they don't give a shit. And they're just like, F you, I don't care about this. you're going to keep watching these games. You're going to keep doing it. Doesn't matter how bad our officials are. Why am I going to spend my effort to fix it? You're going to keep watching it. And it just makes me so mad. The whole thing just makes me mad. I mean, and the numbers don't lie. I mean, college basketball is struggling. It's struggling. It'll pick up in March, obviously, but it really hurts the game. It really hurts the product on the floor. And I know, like, even Keats was frustrated last night. Even some of his comments were a little more colorful than they usually are. But it's not enough, man. If other people aren't doing it, and if your administration and your leadership aren't acknowledging the poor product, and not from the player standpoint, but from the officials or who are trying to make themselves part of the game, I don't know what you do about it. Like, it's, I would think the game would be called better if the guys were just playing without officials and calling their own fouls. Like, I play pickup games that aren't so one-sided with fouls. You always have the one guy who calls a foul and everything, but it's not like this. It's not where one guy's calling 13 fouls on one team and, you know, eight on the other. Come on. Or two on the other. Sorry. Two on the other. I don't know, man. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. The whole thing just doesn't make any sense to me. And of course, nobody's going to ever say anything about it. Administrations aren't going to acknowledge it. Boo's not going to say anything about it. None of the other athletic directors. Now, maybe they want to do something in private, but I don't know. I think they're all just cashing fat checks, moving on.
Yeah, my thing is, like, why wouldn't you be committed to having a better product and getting more eyes on it? I mean, I still feel like it goes down to, I feel like we were talking about this last time, or maybe we were talking about it on the Slack, but, you know, I feel like college basketball's problem is there's a lot of meaningless games. Like, I just don't need to see power, whatever you want to call them in basketball terms. I don't need to see them playing like RPI teams in the 200s and back, even the 150s. Yeah. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't understand this need to have so many basketball teams. It doesn't make any sense to me. And like, I know everyone's going to be like, oh, what about those like Cinderella stories with St. Mary's and blah, 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 blah. Great. Like, they'll get their little automatic qualifier, but I don't see the value for NC State playing meaningless games just to rack up wins and, you know, avoid contract issues with people. Like, I think the ACC and other leagues should kind of push to have better consistent scheduling. And I don't know. It's, to me, like, I'd be more willing to watch a bunch of games that are like good teams playing, but you know, if you're not going to do that, I'm not going to check in except for like once in the off season. Or at a conference when you're playing like a Kansas or someone, then I'll wait for ACC play and then I'll have stuff come up in life and then I don't have time to watch your shit anymore. Like, that's the nice thing about football, man. It's like, I know it's Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, I can build up to it. I'm off. I get to enjoy it. Basketball, you gotta work a little harder to get eyeballs on it. And, you know, you'd think officiating would be like the first thing where you're like, we're going to be very good at our jobs.
Yeah, or not at all. Or, you know, you would think that something, it would be an agenda. So I did ask some non-state athletic administration folks and asked them, you know, do y'all talk about officiating in your office? And they're like, yeah, all the time. You know, and if they don't like it, you know, our AD will call and, you know, say something. Yeah, but that's all like behind the scenes and it's all like very specific instances. It's not addressing the overall inconsistency, all overall problems with it all. And that's weird to me. Like, that's weird that's okay. There's no performance evaluation for these guys. And like, hey, you should probably try to get it better. But
yeah,
they talk about it, but they don't want to address it. And I think that's so strange.
Yeah, you remember when they talked about it with, you know, you wouldn't believe it, but this isn't like the first year where UNC had an insane foul discrepancy with the rest of the league. And, you know, they asked the refs and they're like, well, you know, we studied the tendencies and, you know, these other teams, you know, they just don't have the athletes, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what does that mean? You study the tendencies. What does that mean? What tendencies are you? seeing that leads to certain teams getting a ton of fouls versus others. Like, you know, I don't know, man. I hate to say it, but like, is it really that hard to officiate a basketball game? I don't think so. Like, so
that one ref has officiated 7 state games. We've lost 6 of them.
Shocking. I'm shocked.
Well, 5 of them. Sorry. 5 of them. Yeah.
5 of them. You know, what were the other 2 that we won? Were they close?
Louisville and FSU. Yeah. So
okay.
FSU, I think that was a close one. And then Louisville was ridiculous.
You know, yeah. I'd be curious to see what the spread was before those games tipped off.
That's the Brian Kersey, the head of officials, just doesn't do anything. He's not going to do anything about it. The league won't do anything about it. And it's just, I don't know, man, it's frustrating. If I'm an administrator, I'm getting 5 other ADs together and like, hey, look, we have to do better than this. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Let's go tape some initials on our shoes and make a point.
Like, how do they get away with that stuff? One of the things that, you know, obviously we had to talk about officials.
Is the guy's name is what? Burt Smith?
Burt Smith.
Oh man, they got to put BS initials on the shoes.
Yeah.
For the team going forward. And they'll be like, what is that? Are you trying to say this is bullshit or is it about Burt Smith?
Yeah. That would be funny. Officiating is horrible, inconsistent. I need robot officials, something we've talked about on the pod. There is a company that is actually working on it, which I think is probably interesting. But State didn't play that well anyway. I mean, they played well enough to win because Syracuse isn't that good. But
haven't we struggled against the zone? Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah,
I mean, when we were playing Georgia Tech, that was the one game I got to see recently. And I mean, it was awful watching us against the zone. So is it shocking that going up to Syracuse, we're going to play poorly?
Well, they handled the zone okay. I mean, they clearly made some bad judgment calls. DJ had a few bad passes and whatnot. But again, the thing that plagues his team is inconsistency and poor shot selection. Right? You got Turquavion throwing up 27 footers, and Jarkel, the one play Jarkel got a rebound, who's underneath the basket, dribbled it back out and took a 15-foot fadeaway. I'm like, what are you doing? And they just, that hurts his team, right? They're good enough to make a run, right? In either the ACC and NCAA tournament, but their inconsistency and their lack of discipline, and maybe that's how Keats wants them to play loose and whatever, but that's going to hurt them. Where if they were more well-refined, I think they would be a more dangerous team. But they're just a bit wild westy. And that doesn't work against teams that are, you know, like Syracuse has a decent system and they're coached well and whatnot. And, you know, it works again when you have more talent than the teams or when you just have an on night, but you're not going to have on nights all the time. You just can't have, guys like Casey going 1 for 9 last night from 3. Like, that's tough.
Yeah, but doesn't he?
I don't know if Turquavion wasn't that good either. Like, I'm not.
I mean, but Casey's been pretty good from 3 this season, right? So
he has been. Know. He's doing some off nights. I get it. But some of the other guys, shot selection plays a part in that, and how they play the game plays a part in that. It's just too wild and inconsistent to me. I don't know. No surprise, honestly. And then you got the end of the game, 20 seconds, need to get a basket. Keats calls a timeout, draws up a play. And I put this in the chat earlier today. I wish I had a montage of every end of game scenario under Kevin Keats and their outcomes. Because it's not his specialty, and he keeps doing it, and you're like, what in the hell? Calls a timeout. Jarkel dribbles around for 15 of the 22 seconds or whatever it was, and Dan Bonner's on the TV saying, oh, he's got to go. What are they doing? He's got to go. And then he dribbles around, passes, somebody chucks up a wild shot, misses. You're like, this is a great, you know, side out of bounds play from a timeout. But it's just, it's over and over again. And I just wish he would stop doing it. Just let the guys go. You got a guy dribbling on the court, go. Try to score. Because what you're drawing up ain't working.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping the assistant coaches were going to handle these situations. So that's a little disappointing.
I think the coaching staff has been a huge upgrade. I think Joel Justice does a lot of the heavy lifting, Levi Watkins. I think you can see a dramatic improvement in how they're playing versus last year, right? The team, they had a chance last night because they had a clear plan to attack the zone. We didn't do that. We didn't do that much last year. It wasn't well orchestrated.
Yeah.
I think the staff has been a clear upgrade. I think there's still some ways that Kevin Keats gets in the way, but I don't know. And part of it may be the rotations. Like there's why EB Duana plays, why Breon Pass plays over LJ, like the inconsistencies with how the, you know, the day-to-day operation of the game is handled, I think is eyebrow raising, right?
Yeah, I do wonder what the team looks like just fully healthy with the Horchek, and, you know, I guess Clark is back and getting minutes again, right? So that's kind of one more
kind of Clark is so gone. Crucial to this team. I think he does everything.
Yeah.
His shot is too good. His form's too good for him to, you know, shoot as poorly as he did before his injury. But he is still valuable because he does it everything. Rebounds, hustles, makes plays. He can shoot. I think he can shoot. I think he's a key piece to this team. And getting him more involved is only going to be better for this team. But why, you know, take EB's minutes, right? Put Ross in instead of EB. I think there's some clear... Like, I don't even... Did Gant even play last night? There's some clear... I don't know, weird uses of the rotations. I loved it for the 2 minutes they put Jack Clark at the high post and they were running the offense through him when DJ wasn't in the game. Like, he's really effective at that. They tried to do that with Jericho last year, but Clark's better. So they've got the pieces and they show flashes in some of these games. You're like, man, that's awesome that they can keep doing that. And then, like, I think they really played poorly last night and they still had a chance to win.
Yeah.
They have some talent. That's the thing. This team's got more talent than we've had in the past.
Yeah, this feels like a team that's just like kind of built to do some damage in tournament scenarios, right? Like where there's so many, there's so much opportunity with Turquavian, right? Just with the volume, and then, you know, DJ obviously. And like, there's so many pieces that are moving around. I just, I do kind of wonder, is it a scenario of, I haven't seen the minutes for Jack Clark this game. Cause I think the BC game was the first one he had back, right? He had like maybe 8 or 12 minutes in that game. So yeah. I wonder if maybe it's just a matter of things not being gelled, but I don't know if like when I watch it, it's just like, you can see them kind of go on runs if they're hitting, especially if they're hitting threes, right? They can be a special dynamic team. And then it just seems like sometimes they just see like a zone and they just like completely bog down. And I don't know. I mean, typically with like Syracuse, they generally seemed like pretty well prepared for them under Keats in general. It's like them, Virginia, like there's certain styles I think we've always kind of played well, but if the shots aren't falling, it's kind of doomed. But I don't know, man. I'm just looking at these fouls discrepancies while you were talking. I was just looking at the chart. I mean, that's pretty freaking bad, man. You can't that's overcome crazy. That. Because like, and also like, of course, like Syracuse was like lights out from the line. They were like 90 some percent, right? And I think we were, like in the 60s as usual. Somehow, like, we're the only school out there where people like freak out at the free throw line. Like year in, year out. Like, I don't care. I mean, we're never good at free throws as a team. There's wild.
No excuse to be good
when you only got five attempts.
Well, okay. There's no excuse to be bad at shooting free throws. If you're a basketball player of anything more than recreational status, no excuse. It's one of the easiest things in sports to do.
Yeah. I can get being tired. I can get the pressure, the psychology of it. But there's so much. I think what kills me is it's the routines where you can see people like not stick to the same thing every time. And it's just the general technique. And you're just watching. You're like, I don't get it, man. Like, how can you be so good at hitting shots all over the court, but you can't hit like the straight on? Like, if you're that bad, you have to use the backboard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why people don't do it underhand. You know what's cool? Like, making free throws. And it's pretty easy to do that underhand. So just do it. Who cares? You're still getting laid no matter what, bro.
Tyler Hansbrough he made half of his points at the free throw line. He would get 10 Definitely. Points a game and then 15 from the line.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't understand why you want to score more. Learn how to shoot free throws. It's unbelievable to me. It's one of the easiest things in sports. It's 10 feet. It's 10 feet everywhere you go, every court. It never changes. It's a routine.
You can get like 25% of your points from there. That's why I don't understand.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah.
It's so crazy. And you know, it's always great when like the little sister of the poor team comes and they're just like free throw maniacs and just swish, 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 swish. And you're like, I don't understand it. You know, they're not that talented, but I don't know. Maybe they try harder at that level.
Yeah, maybe.
It just kills me.
Here's a good question. What would you consider a tournament berth in a first round NCAA loss a successful season? Why not?
Oh, is it like the, when they, I mean, are we at least not in like the, what's the first round, the like the, you know, where it's like the 68th team is playing?
Playing games, yeah.
The playing game. Like, I mean, it can't be that. Like, you got to be actually in. It would suck. I mean, like, are we going to win a national title with this team? No. Do I think we can win a couple games? Yes. So I guess I would be disappointed if we got there and then we flamed. Like, I don't want to do another. Was it St. Louis that beat us?
Yes.
Right. And it was like, and once again, what happened? We went to the free throw line.
Free throw line.
Free throw.
100%.
Right.
Yep.
Like, and everyone freaked out that game. Like, everyone was bombing it. I'd call that a disappointment at this point. Like, I mean, what are we, like 17 and something? What's our record right now? No, 20-7.
20-7.
Yeah. I think the thing that's just annoying about this season from like when I've got to watch games, this is just like, this is the kind of game that we should be able to kind of put away. And I get that the refs kind of ruined it for us and we were still there.
Still, you had a chance.
Like, we got to win this UNC game now, you know? And it's like, that's not something I want to bank on. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't consider it a successful season. My stance from the beginning is that Keats was going to regress to the mean, and the mean is him being on the bubble, being middle of the pack. And I think this team is too talented to make an early exit. I think they're going to make a run in the ACC tournament. They're one of those teams that's good enough that they get hot.
Yeah.
Then, you know, anything can happen. It's the NCAA tournament. You have to maintain that a little bit longer. Right? It's over a couple week period there, so that's a little bit harder. But when we were talking about in the chat earlier, when Rob McLam said NC State could go to the Final Four, and I immediately had the vision of State in the Final Four, 20 seconds left in the game, Terquavion's dribbling or Jarkel's dribbling up the court, Keats calls a timeout and draws up a play, and we get some more Keats magic on national television, and everybody's like, what the hell?
You just see Darren Sebron come running out of nowhere and just punch Keats and knock him out before he can get the timeout up.
Of all the plays in the 30 years I've been watching State, that Darren Sebron play is one I will never forget.
I just don't understand.
Inexcusable. It was unbelievable. And that's not a good thing, right? That's one of the bad things. Like, I remember, you know, the 1 yard Hail Mary and, you know, T.A. was in and Brian Underwood and some of those. That Sebron play is right there with all of them. Like, it's just inexcusably stupid.
It's like he either, it's like in his brain must have been saying, sub X, I must call timeout. Or, like, the ego just got him. It was just like, you know what I can do? I can stop my star player from an easy transition basket. And God, I still don't understand what the hell was going through his mind. I get it, man. Like, you short circuit sometimes, but it's just like when it keeps happening over and over, it's like someone should be up there being like, hey, Kev, man, just it's okay, man. Let them do their thing. But I don't know.
My favorite is all the people on Twitter after State just dominates a very bad BC that lost to Talcum State or Talton State or whatever the hell that was. Like, a very bad BC team. And then all they're like, can you see that? We're all the Keats haters now. And
I'm just, oh my God.
Like, my reaction is just like, okay. Like, that's.
Just beat a BC team that's got one of their best players injured. Like, congrats.
It's so disingenuous. And then nobody says anything last night. It's all about the refs. There's no acknowledgement that they didn't play bad or that they just the end of the game was just a complete mess. Like, whatever. I want this team to do well. I'm not a personal Kevin Keats fan, but I still want them to win. Right. And I'm not going to go thumping my chest when, you know, if or when Keats blows it or this team blows it or something happens, right? It's not something I'm proud of. So I don't know why the other side is just like, yeah, look at that. We're all the haters now. Just make yourself look stupid when you start doing that. Like, everybody wants us to win. Doesn't mean anything. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but it's annoying.
Same goal, different path. It's just what it comes down to. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm the same. I just want to see us win. And I want to just be able to occasionally watch, you know, at this point. And at least, you know, we're at the part of the season where we have a bunch of good games that I'll actually be interested in. And I think, what, three of the four next ones are basically either above us or right behind us in the standings. So they're all kind of clutch, crucial games, right? Oh, man, Virginia barely sneaked by Louisville. Jeez.
Yeah, Louisville blew that game. My other favorite thing is people trying to break down and diagnose the net. Like,
it's not worth it. It's made up. It's fake.
We've seen it before where the net hosed us, where we don't get in, even though our net was inside the top 60. Like, all these things, like, it doesn't make any kind of sense. You win by more on the road, it makes it look better, and then somebody's like, is Keats trying to run up the score because of the net? And I'm like, there's zero chance Kevin Keats understands what the net is. He's heard of it, and he knows it's important, but he has no idea how it works. So, no, I don't think Kevin Keats is trying to run up on it.
Yeah.
All right, last official question. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I hope the net goes away soon because it's just, it's absolute nonsense. I also hope, like, people like Joe Lunardi go away. I hate... Bracket. Like, there's no point in trying to predict your tournament bracket until the end. It's stupid. Same thing with, like, the playoff with football. Tune in for the last one. Everything else is nonsense.
Like, Lunardi will do it in, like, July this year. Or June. He'll put out his early bracketology for next year. You're like, shut up, man.
I'm looking at
I wish I had that inventory. Job, but shut up. Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. It's like, he must not be getting paid. Like, he must be just...
No, he's doing it. He's just a volunteer. For just being nothing. Other question we got. What do you think, if anything, Boo does behind the scenes? Does he contact the AC office with poor officiating issues? Does he comb his hair? He doesn't comb his hair. That's a no. I think he probably acts like the other ADs and they will call about a specific instance. I don't know if there's enough people out there complaining about, hey, the overall quality sucks. It's piss poor and it's affecting our sport. I don't think that happens. I think we're happy cashing checks.
Yeah, I think the call he makes is, I don't want to see Burt Smith at another one of our games for the rest of the season. You know, like,
yeah, I mean, that's what he should make. That's what he should say. Absolutely. Yeah,
just say, hey, we're a team player, but this guy's clearly just calling it differently against us. You know, you don't make us have another Carl Hess situation. You know, it's just
how do you ever get there? And how do they stand behind the officials rather than the teams in the league? Blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So
stupid. I mean, I get it. Like, you don't want there to be a toxic relationship between the coaches and the players and the refs. Like, it's got to be simpatico. But if I was Kevin Keats, I wouldn't say, like, I can't say what I want to say. I'd be like, you know what? There's a ref that we've had, and he is calling games biased against us. I've got the data. Here it is.
Yeah.
You tell me. You tell me what sounds wrong about this. And then just be like, you know, league's not going to do anything about it, but I'm happy to get fined and say whatever at this point. Because, you know, like, I don't know. I do not like the league being like, don't say anything about this. If you can only make that stance if you're like actively making changes behind scenes.
And I missed this tweet from I'm going through IPS Twitter thread because I was trying to look at post game quotes. But Corey from Pack Pride, I'll admit I was critical of Burt last night. He called some seriously questionable calls against State. However, the bigger issue is the fact that Smith and several other officials are overworked. And he posted the schedule.
I mean, like, Corey.
Like, what a stupid tweet.
Who do you represent?
I like the fact that James responded. So he was tired. He only had enough energy to call him against one team and not the other. I'm like,
What a that's like, I mean, man, James has like some real golden, you know, how do I want to call? I don't even know what to call. It's sarcasm, quips. I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he usually plays it pretty straight, but that was pretty funny.
But here's the thing. If you hire your own officials and crew and you say, I'm paying you X to be here for all these games.
Yeah, it's your job.
You don't have to worry about these guys being overtired. Like, that's the worst excuse. And this whole thing is like, oh, well, you know, the NCAA tournament is a $1 billion tournament. And yet we can't hire full-time officials enough to keep like this whole thing working. It's probably because you're making them go to all these bullshit made-up games with all these fake little schools out there that shouldn't even be in this like level of basketball. Like, you want to have more quality officials out there? Get rid of like half these worthless teams.
He was the official in the State Carolina game. He was.
I'm shocked, Evan. Yeah. I'm shocked.
What did Keith say? Keith said something about we played well enough to win, and I want our guys to have a chance to win. They did not get that chance. Nothing went our way. Five calls went against us, and that shouldn't happen. Yeah, I mean, at least he's talking about it. I give him credit, but I don't expect anything. I don't expect much from him. Going back to the AD part, I just don't think they're going to do anything. I think they're just going to carry on, complain about a certain call, whatever, and move on and hope that this gets forgotten.
I'm sure Jim Phillips is going to form a committee for everyone to get together and do a roundtable and really work out what the issue is.
Right.
And then let us know about it in 5 years.
As long as the coaches don't talk about it. Yeah. You're not supposed to talk about it. That's your response. You send a letter to the coaches, tell them not to talk about officiating. Come on, man. It's frustrating.
Just fire, dude. How hard is it? Just be like, hey, man, you're not working for us anymore.
Yeah.
Not for some time. And when you come back, the whistle's going to be quick on you, too.
Yeah.
Just why do these guys get carte blanche to do whatever they want? I don't get it.
I don't. Yeah, they're
not important. They should be invisible in games. You should not know who Ted Valentine is.
Yeah, you're right.
100%. You know what I mean?
I do. And no, Boo doesn't come with hair.
I wouldn't if I had that much hair.
Yeah. Someone wants us to talk about the women's team. They've lost 3 of the last 4. They just don't look very good. I'm not going to give you much analysis other than they don't have Reyna Perez. And I mean that in both. She was my favorite player to watch. And they don't have that leadership and that experience and that kind of grit. We had a couple of gritty players in the past. We just don't have it right now. I think it's perfectly okay to say that they've been dealing with some injury issues. The transfer, I mean, they lost an entire class of transfers midseason, which is strange. But Wes Moore, if anybody have faith in, it's Wes Moore. And he'll be fine. The Carolina game tomorrow night should be a pretty big game. I expect them to show up. I mean, they don't have it. It's okay. I mean, they won the ACC 3 years in a row. I don't expect them to win it every year. But I think you're missing the key components that you had last year. The experienced, crafty veterans that you could rely on. And Diamond Johnson's good. Saniah Rivers is good. Like, they have talent. But they don't have it, right? I think that's my one thought. Every time I watch the game, I feel the same way. I'm like, they don't have that person who's going to will them through it. And I think it shows. But they'll be all right. Wes will figure it out. He's too good. He's too good not to. He's got 3 ACC championships. I give him some credibility there. All right. The real question I got to ask you, though. This went around Twitter the other day, and I saved it because I was like, I gotta ask Will this because this is right up Will's alley.
It's good. I'm great. Is it about mortgages?
No. You're in an arena with 50 hawks, 10 crocodiles, 3 brown bears, 15 wolves, 1 hunter with a rifle, 7 buffalo, 10,000 rats, 5 gorillas, 4 lions. Pick 2 groups to defend you. The others attack you. Your goal is to survive an hour. Who do you pick and why?
To defend me?
Uh-huh. And I'm going to send you the list in chat.
Okay, I need the list because...
I'm going to send it to you right here. Yeah, look at the pod chat.
Now, I mean, maybe this is a dumb question, but do they, like, listen to my commands?
Yeah. They're okay. Your boys, right? That's your team.
Okay. All right, send it to me. Hold on. I got to go.
I'll send it in the box.
In the DMs? Okay, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Let me look at this real quick. Okay. Pick 2 to defend me. The others attack you. Goal survive an hour. Well, I've been watching this show, Physical 100, and, so I've been thinking about all these competitions pretty deeply lately. Boy, the one hunter with rifle. Let's see here.
I'm gonna tell you right now. You probably eliminate the crocodiles because you're assuming the arena's not flooded. Unless it's water. Yeah, it's not flooded. I'm gonna say it's not.
Well, the Colosseum, Roman Colosseum, they could flood it occasionally for little naval battles. So, I love the volume of the rats to be extremely distracting, and if they. Can listen to my command. I don't know if it's because I just watched, whenever it was during COVID, the Suicide Squad movie with Rat Girl. But I mean, I've seen what a lot of rats can do. Man, gorillas are pretty strong too. Buffalo, no. Not enough defensive capability. Let's see here. I don't, I mean, I'm not sure what the Hawks could really do for me. I mean, that's a lot of dive bombing that they'd have to do. So, brown bears. I mean, these aren't grizzly bears?
No, brown bears.
Okay. Definitely going rats. And, boy, I feel like gorillas could take a freaking beating. Oh, you know what? This is easy. I mean, obviously these hawks are like strong enough to carry me, right?
50 hawks. Like a single hawk has a capacity of about 5 pounds, right? They can't
lift. Yeah, but I got 50.
All right, so I'm saying, so like you got up to 250, right? They can
I mean, probably... if I lay down on the ground and I just, you know, I don't know, man. I definitely go into 10,000 rats. I'm going to maybe lean towards, I love the strength of the gorilla. I just don't know if they can take the endurance. I mean, that hunter's just going to shoot me. Wait a minute. I got to take the hunter and the 10,000 rats. Cause, well,
the rat's going to overwhelm anybody. Like, they'll overwhelm the hunter before he shoots you.
I don't know, man. All the hunter needs is one shot right at the beginning, and I'm donezo.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't know.
I got 5 gorillas and 10,000 rats. You can get behind a gorilla. It's going to take more than one shot. And it gives the rats enough time. I've seen Indiana Jones, man. The rats, like, want to swarm you.
10,000 is a lot of rats.
That's a lot of rats. It's an overwhelming force. I think
did you can someone pick this from now. Like, was this on Twitter?
This was on Twitter, yeah, and I forgot where it originated. It was, I don't know. I'll find the origination story somewhere else. I remember reading it.
I mean, those hawks could do some damage on those rats, but 10,000 is that feels like too much. I feel like it should, like, it would be more different if it was like 500 rats or something like that.
Or 10,000 is a lot. Like,
I can't even imagine what that would look
like. New York City subway rats. Like,
oh my gosh, those guys! I mean, one's gonna be eating pizza. Oh
yeah, yeah. And the gorillas, like, I feel like they can coordinate, and they're strong.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched that new Predator movie, and I watched a wolf square off with a predator. And I watched a bear square off with it. So, I mean, I've seen some great things from them. But
the wolves are strong. Like, they're ferocious. 15 wolves.
15 working as a pack. That's if the hunter wasn't there. The crocodiles is what's throwing me off. It's like,
I think you got to go gorillas. Like, unless you could ride a buffalo around, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, you could definitely ride a lion.
Yeah, but lions are sleeping most of the time. I think that they don't have to do all the work. The lionesses do all the work, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's funny. I was assuming it was the lionesses. The hunters apparently. Of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need some preening, you know, giant cat.
Yeah.
Now, you give me a couple of those grizzlies, especially those big fat ones that they had on Twitter for that competition recently.
Yeah, yeah. Fat Bear Week. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going gorillas and rats, I think. Unless you're into the hawks flying you out of the arena for an hour, then that's cool. But the rats, I think. I'm getting in my gorillas, hiding behind them, and letting my rats go to work. Nobody's getting near me.
Yeah. Now, the buffalo could charge the gorillas.
It's possible.
Wahida, you're in an arena. You have to pick two of the following to defend you. The others attack you. You have to survive 1 hour. Who are the two you pick? 50 hawks, 10 crocodiles, 3 brown bears, 15 wolves, 1 hunter with a rifle, 7 buffalo, 10,000 rats, 5 gorillas, 4 lions.
2 of them protect me.
Uh huh.
The hunter with a gun.
Okay.
And the eagle.
You want the hawks?
Wow.
How are they going to keep you safe?
They're going to lift me up into the sky.
Oh my gosh. You need them to also lift the hunter so then he just gets to rip off shot after shot.
Snipes from the tower? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, now see, that's what he does first podcast. So
this is it came from something in 2012. Somebody brought it back on Twitter. Got 5 million views on Twitter in like 2 days.
I hope they get. I sent all my friends, but
I saved it to put it. I didn't put it in the chat for this reason because I wanted you to see it, and then I wanted to put it in the chat tomorrow. Yeah,
it feels like it's the numbers just have to get tweaked a little slightly, but I don't know. I mean, part of it's just like you said, it's a stamina game, and if I got 10,000 in a numbers game, and if I got 10,000 of something,
right.
That's really difficult. I mean, the Hawks are going to fly at me right away, right? That's the only. I think the Hawks maybe are the problem because they're not going to be impacted by the Rats. And so if they can just dive bomb and get in me, I mean, they got to scratch me a couple times in the wrong place, right? And then you're bleeding out, you know?
This guy on Twitter, this mathematician on Twitter, did a formula for trampling 10,000 rats in a follow up to this response. And it was like 4 rats per stride. It's hysterical.
Oh my God.
It takes a line 9 seconds to run around arena, so he's got to run around it 8 times, you know, to kill X number of rats. Oh, that's great.
Assuming that the line doesn't lose grip and get overwhelmed by the rats, and then they eat its eyes out, and then they'll just avoid that blind, dumb lion that's off in the corner.
Yep, agreed.
I feel like people don't understand, like, rats can fuck things up. Like,
there's a lot. I mean, 10,000 of them is just insanity.
Yeah, 1,000, you're maybe rethinking it. But even then, it's like, what kind of gun does the hunter have?
You know, think a rifle, not an automatic rifle.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When I think, just imagine a guy with a bolt action. Oh, it's jammed. Hold on.
Wait, girl, don't throw me. Don't toss me.
Oh my God.
A girl's going to rip his arms off and beat him with them. Yeah.
I wonder if PETA weighed in on this.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. I feel like we hit a.
I knew you'd like that topic. Yeah, that was a good one.
I needed something to clear my mind there. Thanks.
If you see this tomorrow, if you hear this tomorrow, let me know who you'd go with. Like, I saw one comment is like, I feel sorry for the poor souls who picked the crocodiles. And like one of my good friends said, I'd go with the crocodiles. And I was like, what? You weirdo. Like, I can't respect you anymore.
That's just such an odd choice. I mean, if you get like 10 of those huge monster ones, I mean, I get it. Like if you got 10 Lake Placids up there.
Lake Placids.
We're playing a different game.
Yeah.
Just give me some woolly mammoths. Do I just get to pick what I want at this point? Oh my gosh. Yeah, give me an elephant. That's something I know will take some time to get knocked out.
Yeah, funny. Gosh. All right, folks, that's all we got. It's like we've talked about before. It's hard to talk about basketball. They look good 1 week or one day, and then 2 days later, you lose to Syracuse, and Bert Smith is putting his porn all over Twitter. And yeah, I don't know. We'll try to come back more as we're getting towards March, baseball season starting this week. Oh, that reminds me. Say something, Will, because I gotta look something up. Say something smart.
Well, I looked this up. Wow, something smart. I saw MJ Morris was practicing on Twitter today, so that was encouraging.
Nice.
And how much more vamping do you need? Because I'm extremely tired.
I gotta do my giveaway for.
Actually, hold on. Let me ask. If anyone's listening, you can write back to us on Twitter. If anyone knows how to get mineral deposits out of shower tiles and grout, please let me know. Because I've been going through all the vinegar and baking soda and all that crap. So
CLR is your best bet, but even that doesn't work.
I know, but see, the problem is I cannot tell if we have, like a standard tile material or if this is actually like marble. And the CLR is like very specific about not being used on certain stones. And I'm too afraid to use it. Anyways, is that enough time?
Yeah, yeah. I found my tweet. So I want to give away the home field shirt. Home field dropped the new NC State merch. I'm just going to pick somebody randomly, and you better listen if you want to win this. Justin Anderson, if you will DM pack at pack codes, if you will DM me your address, I will send you some of that home field merch. You are a lucky winner. Also be giving away, I don't know how many I have, baseball tickets for the season opener. I'll probably do that on Twitter tomorrow. So be sure to look out for that.
Are the upgrades completed after the turf caught everyone's eye?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know where the status is. I hope so, because the initial pictures did not look great. And I said that on Twitter. I was like, I'm going to reserve judgment, but this is not looking good so far.
I am hoping it was just a matter of the sun needs to drench it a little bit and take some of that green out. It's just,
yeah,
just the color match is what was throwing me off when I saw it.
Yeah. It looked interesting. I don't know. I assume they'll get it right, but it might take a couple tries. It reminded me of when they put the maroon seats in the PNC Arena when it first opened. You're like, who was looking at this? Like, who okayed this? And yeah, and then they eventually changed out 19,000 seats to the right red color because they messed it up the first time around. The other thing I wanted to call out was we're gonna have some new sponsors, so support them. I'll put a pre-roll out and I'll put some links or some promo codes, 20% off Roback. So if you're into that, 20% off is pretty damn good. And go check out, I put a thread out earlier, or a tweet out earlier, I guess late last week. And I said, what year did you start watching the Wolfpack? And I got 250 responses and it was fantastic. And people are telling me stories about when they first started or how they became a State fan. And it's a good read, man. There's some good ones in there. Go check it out. I'll try to link it into the podcast description if you haven't seen it, but yeah. Now that's for real. That's for all. That's all I want to. So Justin Anderson, make sure you DM me. If he doesn't, then I will reach out to somebody else on Twitter. And as always, thanks for listening. Go Pack.
Go Pack. I was raised by the wolves, 8:34.